The 114th Congress officially opens for the real business of Congress tomorrow. Some of the members coming in today and getting started a little bit early. The next 2 years will see a Republican majority in the House and the Senate and the end of the Obama administration. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call and watching the new faces as they trickle into town. David, as we watch what will happen here, do we have any sense of some of the of what will happen with some of the things that the federal audience cares about, things like confirmations and so on? Is Senator McConnell letting on how he might run things in the new Congress?
Well, he is. In that he has made it pretty clear to his confrontational right flank that he's not going to put up with too much shenanigans from them. He actually did a series of interviews at the end of the year with us and with some other news outlets, and he essentially sent the message that he told his conservatives to not scare off the public with their confrontational tactics. And at the same time, he's told the Democrats and the Republicans that he's going to live true to his word, that he's going to try and make the Senate operate like it used to, which is to say with allowing amendments and allowing robust debate and working 5 days a week and having roll calls maybe on Fridays. So federal contractors and employees, I think they will see, that the Congress is working more like they have to. And on confirmations, the only question is how he's going to be, the more he calls for robust debate, the more time gets chewed up. He is talking about doing an energy bill out of the box, maybe as soon as starting on Wednesday. And that could last a couple of weeks if lots of amendments get offered. This is the bill that people are calling the Keystone Bill, but that could turn into an omnibus energy bill. I think the thinking is that while that debate is going on, he is going to get the confirmation hearings going on both Loretta Lynch and Ash Carter for the Justice and Defense Departments, respectively, and that he wants to bring them up and get them done. And unless there is my reading is, unless there's something unforeseen about Loretta Lynch, she'll be confirmed relatively easily, and Ash Carter seems at this point, the same thing. Unless there's something none of us yet know about, it'll move.
Yeah, those two nominations seem to be pretty cut and dried at this point. There was a little bit of resistance to Loretta Lynch's nomination. That seems to have dissipated over the holidays. The ones that I wonder about are the ones that on the surface don't seem controversial, but that members on a whim sometimes put holds on. And I wonder if there is any kind of a directive that we know of coming from the new majority leader's office. Let's knock off as much of that as we possibly can and pay attention to the really big issues.
Yeah, I think I would suspect that there has been, although, to be honest, I have not heard it said explicitly. But I think the message that Senator McConnell is sending is, let's bend over backwards to make it look as though we are a governing, a conservative center right but governing group of people. And to the Republicans, he is saying, hold those kind of holds to a minimum and let the basics happen. And of course, the Democrats want as many of these people confirmed as possible. Now, what we should all remember is that with the end of the last Congress, all these nominees have to start all over again. I'm not sure they don't have to refill out their FBI questionnaires and their background checks, but technically it all starts all over again, and the nominations have to be resubmitted, and several people at the sub-cabinet and agency level will conclude who didn't get confirmed the last time, and there are not that many of those people. That they just aren't tired. They're tired of waiting, and they don't want to wait anymore, and they want to get along on with their lives and be able to make investments like normal people do and not be slowed down.
Do we know if there's any kind of a transition or a handoff on those kinds of things where if I'm nominated for something in the last Congress that didn't go through and I'm going to go through now, I'm going to try again, I'll stick with it. Do I have to, when you say start the process over, Do I have to go back and meet with the members again? Do I have to do all of those things? And what difference does it make, if any, that it's now a Republican-controlled Senate, and so every single chairman will be different, and every single ranking member will be different, and all of these things will change? Does that make any difference in the confirmation process?
Yes to all of it. I mean, first thing you need to do is you need to tell the president or let the president know that you're eager to be renominated again and don't want to just give up. And then, yes, if you're smart, you go and meet with the new chairperson, who you've probably met before, but you want to go kiss that ring. And remembering that there are, you know, one out of every eight senators is new this year, 13 out of 100. So probably, if you're smart, you want to go meet with all the new people that are on the committee of jurisdiction. So, yes, there's a certain amount of spade work that has to be done. That's the easy stuff, though, compared with having to answer all the voluminous questions. I don't think you have to fill out new financial disclosure forms or submit yourself to a new background check, but you do have to do some of the basic political work.
David Hawkins of Roll Call, to the point of Senator McConnell wanting to establish a governing body and do that effectively, one of the most important things, the only constitutionally mandated job for Congress is budget. Do we have any sense of where that's headed on either the Senate or the House side? How soon we might see some kind of a timetable?
I think in terms of the most short-term, immediate budgetary question is obviously the DHS budget, which if they're operating on a CR and a continuing resolution until right before the end of February.
Yes.
So he has to. I think he is going to have to figure out how he's going to finesse that. On the larger budgetary questions, the McConnell team Dick Shelby, the new chairman of the banking. The new chairman of the budget committee, who is what's his name from Wyoming? Anyway, I'm screwing up. There's a new chairman of the.
They're all new. You're learning.
Right, I'm learning. Thad Cochran, who's returning as appropriations chairman.
Yes,
they are all promising to have a regular budgetary year, which is to say that if the president does his part and submits a budget by the first Monday in February, they will mark up a budget resolution, hopefully, and get that done as the law requires by the middle of April, which would allow the appropriators to begin marking up their bills by early May. And in theory, with a united government, should have, you know, if it does nothing else smoothly, it should be able to get that budget process, that creaky and underused budget process, used normally again for much of the new year. The big question, of course, will be whether the Republicans use this thing called reconciliation, which is the magic weapon of a majority to move a big budget bill through without a filibuster. If they're saying they will use that, the question is, will they use that for a political bill like a repeal of Obamacare, or for a more of a governing bill like a tax overhaul? And that's still, I think, a little bit up in the air, although leaning more towards the governing end of things.
So I went to the Google machine to look up the Senate Budget Committee, and
yeah,
I'm struck by the fact that I know it's new, and I know they're just in the process of all these changes happening this very day.
Right.
But I'm struck by the fact that the Senate Budget Committee's website still has the Democrats in the majority.
Yeah, well, they all do that symbolically until noon tomorrow. It's,
yeah,
Mike Enzi, by the way, is the new chairman of the budget.
Oh, from Wyoming, yeah.
From Wyoming, and the reason I was clutching on it was because for much of last fall we thought it was going to be Senator Sessions of Alabama. And then who would be more the confrontational type than the governing type?
Yes.
To oversimplify only a little bit. And in the end, Mr. Enzi, Senator Enzi, decided to assert he has a hair's more seniority than Sessions, and he decided to assert himself in that seniority to take the budget gavel. And that was good news for McConnell, and maybe even behind the scenes may have been engineered by Mitch McConnell a little bit, because Enzi is clearly more of the governing coalition, not the confrontational coalition.
He actually was in a primary for about 15 minutes because of that, from Dick Cheney's daughter.
From Dick Cheney's daughter, that's right.
Right.
But an old school deal cutter was either the chairman or the ranking member of the what they now call the HELP Committee, Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, for many years with Ted Kennedy sitting next to him on the dais, and
mm-hmm.
they traded the gavel back and forth and got a lot of things done that, you know, were classic things that made the most liberals and the most conservatives a little bit ticked off, but they figured a way to meet in the middle so that everybody was 80% happy and they got stuff done. That's the NZ way. And so, again, shows sort of a good sign that the budget process may run a little bit more smoothly at this time, especially when you can do the budget, the first few steps of the budget process with only majority votes. In other words, the budget itself is immune from a filibuster, so they can get through the budget with only Republican votes if they have to.
Any other surprises on committee assignments or anything like that that jump out at you, David?
Well, just the one macro thought is that since, as I said, 13 new senators, 10 of them Republicans, so that means essentially one out of every, you know, six Republican senators is new. That means there were a lot of spots on committees for the Republicans, and I think it's five freshman Republicans got on appropriations. First time that has happened, by our calculations, since the early 80s when the Republicans took over the Senate after 30 years in the wilderness.
David Hawkins, as always, thank you very much for keeping such a close eye on the Hill. And this is like senior week for you, isn't it? This is like homecoming week on a college campus, isn't
it? Yeah, well, it's kind of like senior week, but it's also like the first day of school. You
That's
know,
true.
Everybody's on their best behavior.
And some people don't know where the restroom is.
And they don't know where the restroom is, and there's going to be all kind of, quirky schedule on Tuesday for the first day of school, and quirky people sort of participating. You're not going to see Biden too often, but you'll see him tomorrow, and that's actually you walked right in without even knowing it to what I've written about for tomorrow. So it's all
I'll look forward to that.
It's like the first day of school. If freshman orientation for the in college is like new member week in Washington, then the first day of a new Congress is like the first day of school.